WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
This is the Firefly Funhouse! And I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I met along the way.
This is EC3.
Hey, this is Max Brown, King Robert from the Royals.
This is the undisputed future Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
I'm Bristol.
And I'm Aubrey from ATTV Flipper Flop Vegas.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
Yes, this is Broken Not Hottie. This is Christopher Daniels. And what I like to do on my off days is listen to The Rack, and now you are too.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm going to break you, bitch, you hear me?
You can look, but you can't touch.
Ruthless aggression.
With your host.
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers!
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
If you smell... Ow! What the game is playing!
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you get a quick second and you're on Twitch and you happen to have that awesome Prime Gaming stuff available, you can use it here for free for 30 days. Because we are going to be doing a lot of coverage in the next few weeks. So just click that little purple button down at the bottom of the screen and redeem that free sub. But if you don't want to and you just want to follow the channel, you can do that there too. Or if you just want to hang out and chat, we are happy to have you any way we can get you. I'm your host, Lindsay Ward. And tonight, we are on the road to WrestleMania. We are starting with NXT TakeOver Stand and Deliver Night 1 and Night 2. And helping me out with that is my ever faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sorokin.
We're here. We're live. We have a full toolbox, unlike, well,
I need to speak to somebody about that.
NXT. You can tweet us at Wild Talk Radio, at Rack Radio Show, at Lynn's Ward. Or you can come to WildTalkRadio.com, RackRadioShow.com, or Twitch.tv/WTR live and interact with us throughout the night, because we have opinions, because we have carry the 175 matches to talk about tonight.
We have a lot.
Not that money, but we have enough. We have, I think, 12 matches to gloss over and talk about and cover for you tonight. So that's going to be a fun time.
It's going to be a fun time, but we're not alone. We have some help.
Coming to us from the med bay, as he heads towards electrical, it is the assistant to the assistant NXT analyst. Wait. What just happened? It was the intern, Kane Kittens.
Speaking of medbay, NXT TakeOver Stand and Deliver. Jesus Christ.
Their medbay is pretty full right now. Let's
be
real.
The word for the last two nights is
medic, because so that's what they all need.
The theory, they say stand and deliver, right? Stand and deliver. No, I don't think many are standing.
I think people stood for like 5 seconds and then they just sort of like kind of stood after that. They needed to take a seat in the back. But I mean, they did technically stand for their match. Like they did come out and stand at some point.
And then they were propped up afterwards.
Yep, pretty much. They had lots of chairs set up in the back.
Yeah, that's pretty much accurate. So NXT TakeOver Stand Deliver aired on the WWE Network.
No, it didn't.
Or not, or I should say, what was the WWE Network? Now on Peacock. And on the USA Network for Night 1, Peacock exclusively for Night 2, and it aired on the WWE Network elsewhere outside the US.
Yeah, for everybody that still has the WWE Network, you got it there. For here in the US, we have Peacock in USA, which, honestly, watching it on Peacock, I have no complaints. There were a couple issues tonight with it, and I think there were a few issues last night with it as well, just in terms of how people were either ahead or behind. There were some sound issues tonight. My feed locked up at one point, but I don't know if that was everybody's. So they did have a few hiccups with it, but nothing major, nothing that would impact WrestleMania at all. So, yeah, I think Peacock ran fine for what this was, and I didn't watch it on USA for Night 1, but I didn't hear of any problems there either.
No,
I was going to say, I think this is like the big first test, because I know that they had Fastlane with Peacock, but
this is the real test, the full test. We've had the Hall of Fame, we had now NXT TakeOver for two nights, so they're working out the kinks and delays are being managed. As far as like Peacock's gonna be fine, they have to work out some of the bugs, like there's some buffering issues and whatnot, but that'll happen over time.
Yep.
Can we please get a good search feature though?
The search feature's okay.
It's okay, but it no, could I mean be
you
better.
Just. You just don't tell your remote how to find it?
Yeah, I mean, if you have Comcast, it's easy. You just say what the event is, and it pulls it right up into the remote.
I just love, though, that WrestleMania is always whatever season, episode one.
Yeah.
So, WrestleMania 32 is season 32, episode one.
Well, like you do, you know.
Because, you know, it's a new setup, but just anyway.
I know. It's just a fun quirk.
So watching it on the network Peacock compared to USA last night, we got to see commercial free action for Night 1. There were some little issues when they would go to break and then the sound dips down for 2 seconds and back up.
that was kind of fun because it's like you could tell when it was at commercial and the announcers, yeah. We just went silent for a second, and then all of a sudden, they come back with commentary as jazzed as ever, and you're like, wait.
Yeah.
Something happened. What happened here? Oh, wait, I know. We came back from commercial break. That's what that is.
And so every now and then, it's like the camera dipped, too, because you're just like, oh, no, they're fading back from commercial.
Yeah, so they maybe need to work on that one.
That's probably not going to be that often.
Probably not. No, I think that's probably the last simulcast that they're doing, at least for right now, for NXT, and everything else will be on Peacock after that, so we don't have to worry about it. But you know what they don't need to work on?
What?
They don't need to work on Samoa Joe's sit-down interview skills, because the man can give a really good interview.
Oh my god, so last night, it's night on the kickoff show, Samoa Joe sat down with a bunch of different talents and like broke down everything. And it was like very real, authentic, he just got right to the point. Samoa Joe's really, really good.
Because I think he just has that really good charismatic personality that he can just sit there and talk to people, and it's more of a conversation versus an actual like interview.
So the best part about it was the one he did with Finn tonight, and he's like poking at Finn for, you know, you're really good at NXT TakeOver, but the one.
Remember that time I beat you, Finn? You remember?
Remember that time in the cage?
I mean, remember that?
You remember that one? And it's like Finn's like, okay, Joe, I see what you're doing, Joe. Okay, got it.
Yes, you beat me. Are you happy? Are you satisfied?
But no,
I still look better in a suit than you.
But Joe is really good. He sat down with a bunch of people and just sort of told the stories that needed to be told. Also, what they did on Tuesday, the global press conference was really good. If you haven't seen it, it's worth going on Peacock to find it. The global press conference for NXT TakeOver. It's worth the watch. But Night 1 had Zoe Stark versus Toni Storm. Good match. I think many were surprised Zoe beat Tony.
She finally got a win.
Yeah.
But the thing I like about it is how they've built up Zoe this whole time, because it's like they put her in the ring with a lot of big names and she just hasn't been able to get that win. Mm-hmm. Until finally, you know, Tony comes along and she can, it's like she's been building and they keep talking about how great she is in the ring and bit by bit until she finally gets there. And now it's kind of like, okay, now she can take that next step.
Yeah. And it was a good win too.
Like, it was.
And I also thought Tony had her best performance in a while. Like, to say her matches haven't been bad is not what I'm saying. It's, I feel like she was very confident in this one.
I think she's finally finding her footing, because let's not forget that Tony pretty much, I don't think, wrestled for like a year during the pandemic, because I don't think she was here in the U.S., and she just very recently came back over, and they've got her working again. So I think Tony's probably trying to knock some, a little bit of rust off, find her way again, find her footing, all that stuff. And she just had the new heel character as well, so I think she's still been figuring that out. And like you said, I think that confidence is starting to come back, and she's starting to figure it all out.
I was reading some stuff about Tony today, and it's like she's struggled in the past, and it's been documented she's had confidence issues, so it's like it's good to see that she's finally finding some of it.
Yeah, so keep going, Tony. Keep going, Zoe. We're here for you.
Also, Mickie James was really good on commentary both nights on the kickoff.
Yes, she was. Although, I don't know what dress she
was. I don't know what the
dress... I don't know what that was.
No one knows what that was, but it was
she
something.
She tried.
She tried something. Tonight's was better.
Brock, it was thought couture.
She was the, Brock thought she was the inside of a Cadbury egg. I mean, thought she was a, like, a fries grocery bag. We don't know.
I thought it was pantyhose, personally.
Well, there we go. Three different answers.
Three different answers for one
like,
dress.
Like, teased up. Pantyhose, that's kind of what it looked like. I don't know. Anyway, she tried something. I don't think anybody's really a fan of it, so I don't think we'll see the dress again. But they opened up NXT Night 1 with Nita Strauss giving a hell of a performance of the national anthem. She absolutely shredded it.
That was awesome.
They had a really cool intro with like the clouds and a storm rolling in, and then we got to see the set, which were these two massive cross swords, and then this sheet kind of falls away to reveal this giant skull with these glowing eyes that basically had like the LED screens in the eyes so they could change them.
Yeah, it was a, I guess, newer version of the, from back in 98 at Survivor Series, the Deadly Game skull that they used. A newer version of that. Pretty awesome.
Awesome.
Yeah.
It was really cool. I will say this. There's a theme to this whole weekend, right? Like a whole theme to WrestleMania. It's pirate themed. I know it's 2 years old at this point, but we're going all in for the pirate theme because, god damn it, we didn't get to do it last year. I am really disappointed in the NXT talent that they did not grab that pirate theme and run with it of gear.
No. One person did.
We'll get to them.
This evening, someone embraced piratism.
They did.
And it's entirely appropriate that they did it, because they should be the ones to do it, but I'm really disappointed in the rest of the roster that they did not embrace the pirate theme. I hope this is not a thing for WrestleMania and people did get pirate-related gear, because if they didn't, I will be very, very sad.
The first person out tonight, or last night, probably was not going to do the pirate theme.
But think of it. Think of Pete Dunne, the pirate.
He would never.
He's the pirate.
He would look like Paul Burchill.
It's not a bad thing.
Is that a good thing, though?
No, actually, you know what? I take it back. He would be Carl Ouellette, minus the eye patch.
I mean, Pete would rock an eye patch, probably.
He could. He's got the bone structure. He could pull that shit off. Anyway, first match of the night. We open NXT TakeOver Stand and Deliver with Pete Dunne taking on Kushida, and God, they beat the crap out of each other.
They beat the crap out of each other so much in this one. As they said, technical wrestling. And this is what this was. Hard-hitting technical style. So
Kushida can't hold a pin anymore.
No, he can't. No, he cannot.
Pete was stretched into 14 different positions. He is now a yoga expert.
So, we learned exactly how flexible Pete Dunne is.
We learned
yes,
that.
We did.
And we learned that Beth Phoenix has been out there binge-watching Friends. She said the word phalange. And there's only one place you know the word phalange from Friends.
How do you know she wasn't watching it at the show?
She could have been.
There are monitors in front of them. We don't know what they're watching.
She's a big Phoebe fan. She said phalange. I had to Google how to spell phalange to put it down in the notes.
You started with an F, didn't you?
No, I started with a P.
Okay, good.
After that, couldn't figure it out. But
after that, it's just a string of random letters.
Phalange. Anyway, where does the I go? No, there's no I in phalange. Anyway, this was very good. Very good match.
Yeah,
I was just going to say, I always like to say that like, they that the kickoff match determines how the show's going to go and how it's going to feel the entire night. This was an absolutely appropriate kickoff match for the beginning of the pay-per-view because this set the tone and standard for the entire night.
Nights.
In terms of nights, but just particular this particular night of just violence.
Mm-hmm.
And hard hitting and joint manipulation and body manipulation. Not chops. That came later.
That's later.
But God. Everything else, this was just a fabulous, fabulous opener. I'm sorry, Brent, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I like the story that they were telling with Kushida, of course, going for every type of submission you could see. And at one point, I thought he was going to pull out the Pentagon arm breaker.
Mm-hmm.
Because he had Pete's one arm tied up. And then he starts to reach for the other, and I was like, oh god, is he going to try and do that? And no, he just twisted him into a whole different other position. You're like, oh god. And then Pete, of course, spent the entire match just breaking Kushida's joints down. And Kushida had some of the best facial expressions and best reactions to, like, the stomps and the joint manips and, you know, like, the breaking fingers. It was a they both fed off of each other really well, because I think Pete just wanted, like, you know, a friend, and Kushida just wanted to be like, I just need to stretch someone.
Well, it's been a minute since they've really let him go. You know, it's TakeOver, it's WrestleMania week, you gotta show your stuff, and I feel like both of them got to show their stuff here.
They did.
But in the end, the best technical wrestler in the world, Peter Dune, picks up your victory.
Good start to the TakeOver.
Great start to the TakeOver. This led into the six-man gauntlet eliminator match where Leon Ruff and Isaiah Scott started. Isaiah kind of beat up, or I should say roughed up, Leon Ruff there for a while.
Before the even match started, Isaiah like came out and attacked Leon. And what was that gold jacket he was wearing? That was a lot of gold.
I don't know. He was rocking it, though.
A lot of gold.
He was owning it. It helped him stand out, man.
It did. I still don't care about him, but he stood out.
And, you know, this was followed up by Cameron Grimes, who whipped out his dick money and then tried to pay everybody off because, yes, he keeps his money in his shorts.
And Isaiah put it right into his own.
So technically they've touched dicks, I think. Is that how that works?
They locked. I think that's what they're calling it. They locked.
Okay. All right.
Whatever.
This is followed up by Dexter Lumis, LA Knight, and finally Bronson Reed. The winner of this match gets a shot at Johnny Gargano and the North American Championship on night two.
Okay. So I need to point something out here. So we're watching this match, me and Lindsay. She goes, well, I think this person's gonna win this match. They immediately got eliminated. When I say immediately, within 30 seconds. She did it twice. I think it was like Cameron's gonna win.
It was Dexter and Cameron. I jinxed Dexter and Cameron.
Dexter first, then Cameron.
Yeah, she legit said it and like then it happened. It's like,
the one thing I liked was when Dexter had locked in the silence in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
And Cameron did the, was it LA or Cameron that did the float over pin?
Oh, I don't remember.
It was LA Knight. It was LA Knight.
Yeah, where Dexter was tied up. And it was that kind of thing, like, he can't release the hold. And it was just one of those kinds of things where it plays off of LA Knight's gimmick of being kind of like the smart heel.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, holy shit, that was a great move. There was also a moment where we all kind of looked at Dexter and was like, is he really okay?
Well, I mean, he was just so excited that he got to meet LA Knight that after LA Knight got eliminated, Dexter just had to give him that big old hug and welcome him to NXT, but Dexter's still working on his hugging a little bit. You know, Austin's trying to teach him, but he's just not quite getting it. And he accidentally, you know, maybe choked LA Knight out on the side of the ring. And, you know, I mean, but they cuddled afterwards, so it was fine. Like, there was a little head pat and everything. So it was good.
They had a cuddle moment on the outside.
They snuggled.
There was a little aftercare. You know how that goes.
I think that may be the next little feud.
I don't think any of us were banking on them doing Dexter Knight. Or, I'm sorry, Dexter Knight. Dexter Lumis and LA Knight together. So it's like, okay, all right, I'm cool with this.
It seems that's where we could possibly go. And when NXT moves to Tuesday, starting next week.
I kind of wanted the moment, though, between, like, Cameron and Dexter, where they're alone in the ring, and Cameron's just like, crap.
He remembers.
But they didn't really do it, so it's like, damn it. Okay, fine. But this was a really good match. There was a lot of action. Leon was out early. Isaiah made it pretty much to the end.
He was the final two.
With Bronson, yeah.
Yeah, with Bronson. And in the end, Bronson Reed picks up the W, and he goes on tonight, too, to face Johnny Gargano for the North American Championship. I like this match. It was good.
Good.
Yeah, I thought Swerve was a good kind of quick person to have in there with Reed, but God, Reed looked like a beast in that match.
Yeah, he did.
They made sure to build him up.
Yeah, you saw that behind the scenes, they like him.
They do.
Because they made him look good.
They do like him, but they also, I don't know how much they like him.
They're kind of wishy-washy with him.
It's like they want to keep his push going, but there's a certain, like, ceiling on his push, which we'll talk about later.
We will talk about later, but yeah, so great match. Moving on to just I don't even know what to call this. The slap fest, the beating, I don't even know what to term this. The NXT UK Championship was on the line as Tommaso Ciampa took on Walter, and they basically just beat the shit out of each other.
That is what is in my notes. They beat the shit out of each other.
Okay. And the announce table.
Let's just say, Lindsay, rule number one, we don't talk about Fight Club. We don't talk about Fight Club. Rule number three, holy shit, Walter's right hand is a lethal weapon.
Walter's entire body is a lethal weapon.
Yeah, it is. That announce table, though. Ooh.
Yeah, when he chops straight back to the top. Good lord, I know it's supposed to break, but damn, he hit that thing with authority.
He did. But the first things first from this match, we saw the old Tommaso Ciampa. He shaved his head.
Tommaso's found his way.
He shaved his head. He's wearing trunks.
Mm-hmm.
Cleaned himself up.
No knee braces.
In his takeover.
He made sure to look the part.
Yeah.
Which is good, because he needed to look the part for this show.
And he certainly acted the part,
too. Oh, yeah. This was his best showing in a while, and they just sort of...
They just went.
They went for it.
The psycho killer came home.
He did, like...
And I think, in a way, they kind of knew that Tommaso was going to have some doubt on him just because of what's been going on as of late. So he made sure that when he and Walter got in that ring together, they stood and they delivered, man. He went for Walter.
Oh.
He gave Walter a fight.
Oh, God. The air raid crash from the ropes
on
Walter.
Oh, my
Lord. Ooh-wee.
Well, the fact that he first picked Walter up from the mat to do a regular air raid crash, I was like, wow. Okay. Yeah, then he did it from the top rope, and you went, oh, shit!
Like, Ciampa was working the submissions in this match. It was, they knew how to put on a fight, and they went for it. And everyone, there's been this whole talk about the finish to this match. Not a brutal, like, big-time maneuver. The chop.
Just that right fucking hand.
But what's interesting is once Walter hit the announce table, that went off the table.
Mm-hmm.
That was gone because Walter, in quotations, hurt his right hand and he couldn't chop and he's not ambidextrous and he can't do it with his left. So that made it a little bit more of a balanced fight because Walter did not have his dominant hand to fight with. And he kept, and what I liked is Walter kept trying to sell it throughout the match of he was having problems with his hand because he put it through an announce table, right? So it's like he, in quotations, hurt it.
Mm-hmm.
So I really liked that story that they told throughout the match of Walter trying to figure out how to get around not using the chop and not really using his right hand, and as a result he figured out how to kick, which I don't think is any better.
No, it wasn't any better for Tommaso.
I think his feet are just as lethal as his hands, but this was fantastic. This was everything I think anybody ever expected it to be and more. I would not mind seeing this again.
No.
It's going to be a while because Walter's going back home, but yeah.
Well, and the one thing I do like is Tommaso took him to the limit because you could see there were moments where you honestly thought towards the end, you were like, wait, Tommaso might actually pick up a win here.
Mm-hmm.
This could happen. But the one other thing I do have to say I really like about Walter is, again, kind of like LA Knight, he's a thinking person's wrestler, and I love the way he delivers his powerbomb and goes into the pin, because normally with a big guy like him, they just drop it, and it's, you know, oh, okay, I'm just going to regularly cover.
Mm-hmm.
Walter lays all over the guy.
He puts his body on there.
He lays his body down, and if you watch, he even picks his feet up off the mat to really put his weight on,
mm-hmm.
which is a small thing, but in the psychology of all of this, you go, holy shit, that's actually really good. Because mm-hmm. now you have to push off 280 or 300, however heavy that son of a bitch is, you have all that weight on you, and you have to try and get it off.
Yeah.
Give him purple Nurple, it'll be fine.
I don't think...
I think Tommaso kind of did if you saw his chest after the match.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, I know he did, but... I think what I like about Walter is I like the simplicity of Walter's character. There's no fuss.
Nope.
It's just the ring general. He's just the ring general. He is literally there just to kill you. Like, that's it. There's no other frills. He's just going to beat the crap out of you, and there's no getting out of it, so you might as well just take it. And I really appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
Simplicity to the character, because it's very difficult to do something like that and pull it off where it's not boring, and he does it very, very well. He executes what he does extremely well.
So,
and I appreciate that.
6'4", 297.
Yeah, I believe that.
Yeah, so if that's laying on someone, that's gonna take everything you have to get off.
And he's top heavy too.
But he still has tree trunks for legs, for God's sake.
Oh, he does. He absolutely does. But it's like, you can tell a lot of that weight is up in his upper body, and that's how he's balanced, which there's nothing wrong with that. Absolutely nothing wrong with that, but that's where he carries his weight. And so if he's got all of that sitting on top of you, you're not going to move him. Unless you're like really freakishly strong, you're not going to move that. There's just no way. Because he's balancing on his arms, so, you know, you got to like kick his arm out or something. I don't know.
So in the end, Walter retains... I don't think we were surprised by that.
I don't think anybody was surprised by that. I like how NXT UK put out a tweet that they're like, who can stop Walter's 400 and whatever day reign?
700.
700?
They made a point when he came to the ring with this that he's held the belt for over 2 years, and it's the longest they've had since the 80s.
Okay, brother. They put 400 or something. I don't know. Anyway, WWE UK put it out, and I'm like, well, I think the announce table's got a pretty good chance, because that's about the only thing that's been able to stop him. Because shit. I mean, that's just it. But I hope Walter has a very lovely trip home, and I look forward to seeing him again when he decides to return to the United States.
735 plus days as champion. He even retained it today at the NXT UK prelude. So,
like you do.
Like you do. So
against another beefy boy.
Yeah. So 735 plus days for Walter as your reigning, defending, undisputed NXT UK champion.
Well, that's typically how they book him. Is he once he gets a title, it's very difficult to get off, right, get that off of him. So
it's whoever beats him is going to get made.
And to be fair, 6 months of this was just him sitting at home.
That's COVID kind of factors into that reign. Like, it still counts, but it's like he wasn't wrestling for most of 2020.
It would still be over 400, 500 plus days.
So they've had... go ahead.
I think that's why they said I think that's probably why I saw the 400, like the 465 or whatever, is because I think they only counted the time that he was active versus for COVID.
Maybe.
So they've only had three champions for NXT UK, right?
Tyler Bate, 125. Pete Dunne, 685. And now Walter, 735 plus.
Jesus.
They like the long-term champions over there. They're all about it.
I mean, because Pete had it when they were trying to figure out TV, and then there was no TV, and yeah, so
here there we you are. Go.
All right, what's next?
Moving on, the NXT Tag Team Championship match is happening, where the vacant titles are going to be awarded to either MSK, Grizzled Young Veterans, or Legado del Fantasma. I have to compliment Legado del Fantasma on their gear. It was lovely. Good job, boys. However, it did not help them win.
No, it did not.
No.
This was fine. It was better at the end. It took them a minute, I think, to figure it out. Like, three-way tag matches are always a little strange to me, because it takes them a second to figure out and find their footing.
Yeah.
Well, this one was really weird because they went with the triple threat of the tag team rule. So it was like three people were always involved, as opposed to, you know, like there are three teams, but two people are there. So it took a minute to get used to that part.
It did take a minute to get used to that part. The best, best part of the match, the most storytelling part of this match was when MSK was locked in a submission. And the one guy, I don't remember who was who.
It was Nash Carter was in the hold, and Wesley was in the...
You don't know.
No, I was trying to think for a second. Wesley was the one in the hold. Carter dove in and grabbed his hand before he could tap.
Yeah, which was, and as he was in a submission too.
Yeah.
which was a nice thing right there. So it was a really fine match. Wouldn't say it was great, but it was good, very good. MSK are your new tag team champions. I don't think that's a surprise, but it could be a surprise. I don't know.
They complete the story.
Yeah, it was the story.
It was the storybook kind of tale they were trying to tell, you know, the young guys with the emotional story.
Yeah, it was the culmination of the Dusty Classic. They got the belts, and it was where the story was headed, despite everything that happened.
Mm-hmm.
Is the best way to put it. It was there. I'll say that, and I'm gonna say this for the next night. This would have been a really good TV match, main event.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, it of all the matches that were on this card, this was probably the weakest, and that's not to knock these men at all. Like, it was still very good. It was a very nice transition between Tommaso and the main event.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a great way to kind of cool the crowd down, because it's one thing we didn't mention. There were people. Actual live people in the crowd, like a bunch of them.
A lot more people than have been at the shows for NXT. They had the second row of bleachers instead of just the one pod. And they also had people on hard camera side.
Yeah, so they did actually have a crowd for this. So it was a good way to sort of like balance the crowd out for the next show. But like Brock said, MSK, your new tag team champions.
Need to mention Stephanie McMahon was in the crowd with a new NXT signing. Sarai. Yeah. And we have more with Stephanie later.
Stephanie and I think her assistant something.
Cameron, whoever works the talent relations for NXT.
He was there too.
I forget his name off the top of my head. Cameron Seaman.
Oh, that poor man. He got home in school.
I think I know it's Seaman is part of the name, yeah. Anyway.
Oh, that poor man. Anyway, moving on to your main event. You had the NXT Women's Championship on the line as Io Shirai, your champion, challenged Raquel Gonzalez, putting up her title. Io was adamant about this match. She pursued Raquel because they have unfinished business from War Games, and she wanted to finish it. And, well, they finished it. This match, I think, was a little rocky to start. It had a couple moments. But overall, this was a really good match, especially when it kicked up at the end.
One thing I thought that was interesting was, so they showed both the competitors coming into the arena that day.
Mm-hmm.
And you had Io walking in with Zoe, which, by the way, helps elevate Zoe. Because, you know, if she's going to come in with the champion, she's got to be a big deal.
Yeah, because goes back to them teaming up a few weeks ago on TV.
But I loved when Raquel walked in, because she has Dakota with her, and they're walking down the hallway, and Dakota points at the wall, the big hole in the wall that she put Io Shirai through, and all Raquel does is look at it with a smile and went, I did that.
Yeah, I did that right here.
I was just like, oh, God.
I did it. Yeah. I'm so proud of myself. Look at my artwork right here.
It was just such a small thing, but it was so, so great to see.
It's the little touches, you know?
Okay.
It was.
Speaking of this match, oh, God, Io Shirai, the moonsault.
Onto the stage.
Onto the stage.
You heard her knees go smack.
The crossbody off the skull.
But first, we'll get to that. But no, when she did the moonsault with the stage, because it was elevated, so it's like she used to having the far drop. Mm-hmm. This is the quick drop, and she just smacks her knees onto the stage and went, ooh, ooh.
Yeah, her knees did not do well tonight.
No. So, Brent mentioned the skull thing. So they're fighting by the entrance, and Rhea goes down, is down, and she's trying and struggling to get back up. And then they cut to a replay, a full screen replay. That way you don't see where Io's going, but you saw her kind of walk in the direction before they cut away, so you knew something's coming. And they come back, where is she? Oh my God, she's on top of the skull. And conveniently, after they did the replay 17 times, they had a camera up on top so you could see where she was coming from.
I feel like this goes back to the house incident where she went up on top of the house and they didn't have a camera ready for her. And so they're like, Io, if you're going to do it, we need to make sure we have a camera up there this time. And she's like, okay.
Yeah. The one shot that I thought was weird, so they've got like 15 different angles of it, but there's the one that's just below the skull. And so all you see is her just fly out of screen.
Yeah.
Doing the crossbody, and you're like, wait, did she transcend to a new level? But, Raquel, if you could move, like, 1 foot forward, that would have helped. Because, much like Rock said with that that moonsault, all you heard, so you saw her jump and yell, and then you hear this back, this loud metal smack, and you realize that she went knees first right into that stage. The body caught Raquel, but oh, when she hit that, I was just waiting because it took her a while to get back up, and I thought, did she just break something?
I think she's okay. I think she's fine. We haven't heard any. There are no Blaine Brents coming out of this so far.
Night one, everyone was fine.
Woo-hoo! So good job, Brent. You didn't hurt anybody.
You did not hurt anyone on night one. However, on night two.
Oh, really? We have news.
We're not yet. Anyway, Raquel Gonzalez, your new champion. Big celebration. So as they were fading to black, as it were, like they do this whole big smoke thing. And you're like waiting. Is someone coming? Is someone going to pop out from the smoke?
Right.
What's going to happen? I don't know.
Is Dakota going to submarine her? What's going on?
Like, we've come to expect it at this point that there's going to be a betrayal at the end of, you know, TakeOver because Johnny and Tommaso every time. Like, that's how it was.
And the credits are no longer safe either. Like, growing up, when we watched, you know, Attitude Era, 2000s, 2010s, like, as soon as the credit thing hit in the corner, you knew you were out. It's like, okay, we'll see you next week. Then TakeOver Chicago happened, and it screwed us. And so now we're all jaded, even with the credits come up. And we're like, no.
You're all waiting, you're just waiting to see, maybe?
Don't play with us.
But I will say that I like, kind of transitioning away from that for a second, that they made Raquel. Gave her that moment, that they had that as the close of NXT TakeOvers. You have the crowning of a new champion. I'm happy that they pulled the trigger on her. Because I think if they didn't, she would be in a lot of trouble. And I believe that they recognize that fact. Because, like we mentioned in the preview, they waited too long on some other people like Ember Moon, Kairi Sane, Shayna Baszler, where for them to either win the title or lose the title, they just waited too long on it. And then it just kind of became stale. So for Io, while Io is a fantastic champion, she will get the title again. This was the perfect moment to make somebody new and put this very dominant woman at the top of the division all of them to chase.
Io had the belt for 10 months, basically, because she won it back in June. So now in April, so about 10 months. And she may get the title. She may never get the title again because she may
go up,
be elsewhere.
We'll have to see.
But the one thing is I like the way they made it all competitive, and it wasn't just Raquel being the utter buzzsaw. Instead, it was, no, Io still showed why she's a feisty competitor. She showed why she held the belt for 10 months, but with Raquel beating her, you were like, okay, yes, this is a worthy person to take it off of her.
Yeah. It wasn't one-sided. It wasn't a squash match. It was a little bit shorter. I think they did have to cut some time off of it because they were airing on USA. You only had a certain amount of overrun, and I think something else went long, and so they did have to take some time off the match, but it wasn't too bad.
I don't think they took much time off it, if they did any, but because you can't have Raquel go long. They went about 13 minutes. Can't have her go longer than that because she's not there yet.
Yeah, there was... Raquel is still a little rough around the edges, but I think they're working with her and they're kind of smoothing all that out with her. Mm-hmm. And this will help her a lot because this will give her a ton of experience and ring time.
Because she's now in the main event position.
Yeah, so she will improve leaps and bounds with this bump.
And that said, because they're going to build her as a powerhouse dominator, I guess, in some fashion, she doesn't need to work the 20-minute matches.
Nope, which is fine. I think that's totally acceptable.
So her working 10, 12-minute matches, putting in a dominant performance, retaining the championship, having her big breakout moment from Dakota, it's good. This is where she needs to be. She's now been given the belt like Diesel was back in the 90s. Here's your belt. Run with it. Let's see what you can do.
Yep. So any final thoughts on night one?
Hell of a night.
Great night.
Yeah, this was one of those, like, if it was just the TakeOver itself, you would have been content. But it also set you up for night two where, like, today, all day at work, I was just like, all right, there's another day and there are two huge matches to come. Oh, I cannot wait for tonight.
It's going to be a fun night. By the way, you're listening to The Rack live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Hey, if you have Amazon Prime, you can link it to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming. You can support the channel by clicking that purple rectangular button below the screen.
And night two, and you are listening to the NXT TakeOver Stand and Deliver review night one and night two. And we're getting ready to do night two for the kickoff. You have Killian Dane and Drake Maverick taking on Breezango. And yes, the only people in the entire company so far that took advantage of the pirate theme were Brazongo. They came out in their piratey best, hats, coats, vests, you name it, to face off against Killian and Drake. Drake's hips. Anybody?
So he was grinding and shaking on top of Fandango.
To be fair, Fandango started it.
He did. He did. It was just, it was great seeing him, like, sort of go into it, and Killian's like, yeah.
What the hell are you doing?
And then, so he forces Drake to the corner after he had to pull him from, you know, them, the two of them fighting. And as he's, Drake's on the outside, he gets slapped in the chest to be tagged in. And so for Drake's retaliation, he puts the pirate hat on Killian, who then wanted to murder Drake Maverick.
Killian just needs to have a little fun, you know? Drake Maverick to loosen up.
Drake Maverick is such a present for all of us, especially for a pre-show. This was so wonderful to start today.
It was. This was a good match. Drake getting powerbombed onto Fandango to win the match was also a nice touch.
That was great, where it's just, Killian's like, I have to finish this. How do I... You, little man, get over here. And... I just like that he powerbombs him, and Drake is just laying on top of him, and the referee's like, well, I guess I count this. One, two, okay, you win.
Yeah. And number one contenders.
Hey!
And the best part is, after the match, Drake is still out of it, and you just have Killian, like, raising his arm and pulling him up by his hair, and Drake is just dead on his feet, being a number one contender.
But... You know, he got a little hat for his trouble, so he's good.
Yeah, he ended up with the pirate hat. He won.
He got the pirate hat. So, ding! So, a very solid kickoff. As we head into night two, your opening contest, Santos Escobar taking on Jordan Devlin in a ladder match. They tried to kill each other several times. That's going to be a theme throughout the night. Just get used to it.
Spanish flies for everybody.
Spanish flies for everybody. I thought this was good. I thought this was really entertaining. This is really good. These were absolutely the right people to have in a ladder match. Like, it was ever doubted, but
it was good.
I liked that we got to see what Santos could really do, and the same thing with Jordan Devlin. Not that we haven't, but like it feels like it's been a minute since anybody has really pushed Santos Escobar to do anything on TV, and so it was nice to be able to see somebody come at him and actually like push at him and force him to have to do things to defend his title, because he's kind of, you know, he's been that smarmy heel. He's taking it easy a little bit, you know. He's enjoying life. He's got his boys there. They're taking care of him.
And the boys played a factor. But Devlin was good because he was resilient.
He was. He was very resilient in this match for the most part.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. Until one part.
Until one part. One major part. But yeah.
Yeah. But the one nice thing is like Lindsay touched on, Santos has kind of run through the cruiserweight division between, you know, the Swerve Scott feud and going to 205 Live. And I'll give him credit. The announcers were talking and they were saying, you know, yeah, Santos has kind of elevated the cruiserweight title. The fact that it's on TakeOver as opposed to being the pre-show match that we just talked about.
Mm-hmm.
But it was good to have someone that challenged him, and it's like, even though he would knock down Devlin, you would see Devlin would fight back, and you could see the look on Escobar's face is kind of like, oh, okay, this isn't just going to work.
Yeah, he had his crew get involved at one point.
Yeah, the boys came out and had fun.
They did have fun, but that allowed Jordan to fight back in this match. He got close, and then he got shoved off a ladder, through a ladder.
Yeah, that turned his night bad.
Yeah. Good opener. People were talking it could be a memorable ladder match. I don't think it's going to end up being a memorable ladder match. It was good. Wasn't great. Wasn't spectacular. It had its moments. But it's stuff we've seen, and it was good. They did what they had to do in the ladder match to make it a ladder match. But it wasn't there was nothing groundbreaking.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't
a show stealer.
No.
But it was a solid opener. Like, it set a good tone for
the
night.
But it's not something you're going to remember 5 years from now going, hey, remember that time these two had a ladder match? It's not going to be that.
But I think given what was later in the night, I think that's okay because they weren't trying to outdo the main events. They were trying to be on the same level as.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think they quite got there, but they had a very good, solid match. I think this is also maybe the first time they've wrestled each other. So maybe they were feeling each other out a little bit. I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing Jordan Devlin versus Santos Escobar again. I really wouldn't.
I was going to say, I think building this out, they're holding something back for a later match.
Yeah,
maybe, because that's another thing. Jordan Devlin's headed home, so... Yeah.
Well, you can always bring him back.
I was going to say, that doesn't mean that we won't have another, like, Worlds Collide.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think basically they put it on Jordan Devlin because it was, they had a plan for him. I think he's one of the ones that was going to come over. And then COVID happened, and they put it on Escobar because of COVID, right? Like, Devlin could not come over and defend the titles, but they let him keep it in UK because he couldn't defend it. And because, again, pandemic, but they wanted the champion here, so they put it on Escobar, which is what led to this match. You know, you had two champions. You need to unify the title because at this point, travel restrictions are really no longer a thing. So Devlin or Santos can go back and forth. And you could build that up again to where Devlin's like, you know what? I want the title back. I never really got to defend it. I never really got to do much with it. I just kind of sat at home with it for 8 months or however long he did. And that was that. So I want my title back. I want to be able to defend it the way that it should have been defended. And you could do another match, maybe around SummerSlam, if you wanted to.
You could.
If he still has it.
You definitely could. So Santos Escobar is your unified Cruiserweight champion. Couple notes. One, the Poppy song to start the show. Pretty good. Good performance.
NXT loves themselves some Poppy.
I was having a conversation with Wood about this. I wonder if, like, Stephanie realizes that Hunter adopted another daughter.
Yeah, probably. probably. All that one.
Because the picture of him and her together is so cute. It He's is. Like, yeah!
Yeah. One note about the show, because we're going to get into it, because there was a tribute in the next match to the Road Dogg. He's doing well. He's at home recovering. He was on headset for both shows tonight from home. So he was involved in the show. So that's good.
Someone was zooming.
So that's good. So he was there remotely, which is good.
So yay, woo! Also, the boys' suit game tonight was super strong for Santos's crew. So, you know, congratulations to them on their suit game. Appreciate that very much. Respect it. Like the vests with the rolled up sleeves. Very nice. I'm sorry. I have a thing where I appreciate a man that can pull off a suit really, really well. Whether it's crisp and clean or it's maybe just a little disheveled like it was tonight. Like, a man that can wear a suit and wear it well, I respect that. Because there are a lot of guys that can't. That it wears them because they're not comfortable in it. They don't wear it a lot. It's basically like, you know, weddings and funerals, that kind of thing, or special events or whatever, and they're forced to wear it, right? So I respect a guy that can wear a suit. Like, I really, really do. And the fact that there's three of them there, very much respect that.
All right, what's next?
Up next, we have the Tag Team Championships for the ladies on the line as Shotzi Blackheart and Ember Moon are taking on Candice LeRae and Indy Hartwell.
So as mentioned, Ember Moon did the tribute to the Road Dogg with the shake, rattle, and roll, and a suck it in this match.
Ember had a tail.
Yeah, well.
Came out for her intro. She had a animal head, and she had a tail.
Well, she's had the animal head. I mean, it was encrusted with rhinestones, so that was not a cheap animal head. And the jaw moved and everything, but I'm not sure if it's supposed to be like a lion or a cat or a mythical creature or what it's supposed to be.
I think a wolf.
It's cool.
I don't think they know fully what it is yet. That's why it's still...
It's probably some sort of wolf because they howl at the moon.
Maybe.
I
don't know. I do know that Shotzi did have to tell her to grab her title because she left it on the tank.
That was hilarious. Shotzi had her belt. Was walking to the ring, Ember goes there, and you see Shotzi lean in and was just like, get your belt. And Ember all of a sudden turned around really quick and got her belt off of the tank. Whoops!
Whoopsie! Forgot about that! Candice came out as her Thor character from the Way comic, which was really cool. And Indy came out as Indy. I felt like they had a really good match. This was very entertaining.
Very entertaining, very good match. But then the champs retained?
Shotzi, I love you, girl. Don't try and kill yourself again.
But she will always try to kill herself.
I know!
In ring.
She took a header into the partition outside. Like, she cleared Ember's legs. Because that's, I think, we talked about the last time we saw that move. We all kind of went, ooh, That was close. Unfortunately, Candace and Indy weren't fully there to catch her, and she just kind of took a header into the wall.
But good match.
Well, yeah, good match.
Very good match. Very entertaining. But we need to talk about something else real quick.
What's that?
So, Index. Didn't happen on the show.
Beth is so here for Index.
Beth is so here for Index. But Index is a thing. So we could see maybe more Dexter Lumis Indy Hartwell in the future. Because, well, he gave an interview and they asked him about Indy. And he put up a little drawing of Indy giving him an elbow. It said hashtag Index on it. I live for this kind of shit. Leave me alone. it's all I have. Just let me have it.
We're letting you have it. What's our next match, though?
Up next, we have the other half of the way. Johnny Gargano with Austin Theory taking on Bronson Reed for the North American Championship. I'm just going to say this. Bronson Reed should not be able to do a moonsault. Like, that much of massive humanity being in the air for that long, that well executed, that's a little scary in a good way. Like, completely scary in a good way. Because, damn.
Bronson Reed is a combination of Vader and Bam Bam Bigelow from Australia.
Yeah, like, he's badass. I love him.
He even pulled out the Vader, the Bigelow moonsault.
He pulled out the Bigelow cartwheel, and I loved the look on Johnny's face when he was just like, what the hell?
Yeah, they made Bronson look good. Johnny sold for him a lot. Again, this is the whole ceiling thing. He has a ceiling right now. Like, they want to keep him, make him look good, but he's not title worthy yet. It was good.
And they had him sell the gut the whole time, which was interesting. I understand it's a way to keep Johnny in the match, but I don't know. It was just really weird that they focused that much on, like, the ribs and everything.
It was interesting. It's very, very interesting. So we'll have to see where they go with it. It should also be noted that Johnny came out in his Iron Man-inspired gear for the way from the comic, which was pretty effing cool. I want to see their gear closet at home. I really do.
It's probably massive. Probably a whole room.
Probably a garage. It's in the garage.
But Johnny is still your North American champion at the end of the day, and him and Austin had a nice celebration.
Yes, they did. They hugged. Father and son reunited.
Papa Johnny.
It's so wonderful. You gotta love those family moments. Up next, we have the NXT Championship on the line as Karrion Kross takes on Finn Balor. And this is where we saw Scarlett's party boob try to make an escape.
That happened. They described,
well, she didn't want to settle down.
They described Karrion Kross as a gladiator, and he had the skirt to prove it.
And the little, like, boot
things.
Yeah, he had, yeah, his boots had, like, the greaves on them.
Finn came out, you know, sporting the X.
So he had a little body paint. Full body paint, but a little bit.
This was a really good fight. A technical fight. Like, they were talking on the pre-show about how Karrion's style, and it was like, yeah, a lot of suplexes, a lot of grappling,
strikes
mixed with Finn's style. It worked really well. They had great chemistry together.
They had great psychology in this match.
Mm-hmm.
With, yeah, Finn egging on Karrion. Mm-hmm. And it was very subtle to start. Just him smiling at anything Karrion did. And you can see Karrion at first was just like, okay. And then it started to eat at him. And it started to eat at him. Until finally he just fucking lost it. And he's like, are you serious? And then started to go to town.
And Scarlett did not play a factor in this like we thought she would.
No, she pretty much stayed out of it, which was good because you had to leave it up to the men in the ring. And the men in the ring went out there, delivered a fight. The moment you knew something was going to, Finn was going to possibly lose this title, was like, he hit the coup de grace and Karrion kicked out.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone, ooh.
Yeah, everybody's like, okay, all right. I see what we're doing here.
So yeah, this was pretty good, and we have a new NXT champion in Karrion Kross.
The world is theirs. Tick tock.
The hands of time. This was everything it needed to be. It was, both men came out looking strong. Finn put up a hell of a fight against Karrion Kross. Karrion looked dominant at times against Finn Balor. This was a main event, a takeover main event level match, which is what you needed on this show.
Yeah, I was gonna say, if you ever want to see how much the company thinks of Karrion Kross, just realize he's won the title from Keith Lee and Finn Balor. That's all you really need to do.
I mean,
and what was nice is, again, like Santos, Finn had someone to push him.
Mm-hmm.
Carrion had someone to push him. Mm-hmm. They had a really well-paced, well-thought-out, well-executed match. And I honestly wouldn't mind seeing it again. I also wouldn't mind Finn and Carrion, and I've said this before, befriending each other and doing things together, where they kind of become a little family. But, I mean, I'm fine with either way, because I feel like there's just a lot of really good chemistry that they can explore later down the line with Finn if they want to. Like, because they're going to go again.
Oh, yeah.
They will meet again.
They definitely will meet again.
The one nice thing was Finn was that really nice replacement that you could put in there to keep the title credible while Carrion was out injured.
Mm-hmm.
Because when he got injured, it was kind of, oh shit, what do we do? Because, you know, we had a story for this guy. He's going to be the next big person. How do we do this? And you could just easily slide Finn into that role. And he ran that division for the, what, 8 months?
Something like that, 6 months.
Nine months that Carrion was out with that arm injury.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, we have a new champion, new leader of the show. So we'll see how that goes. One quick thing we need to mention. So we mentioned Stephanie was with Saray on night one. She was with NCAA amateur wrestler and Olympian Gabe Stevenson, who everyone believes has a lot of potential to be a Brock or a Kurt Angle. So if he wants to, you know, make this his thing.
Well, I mean, did he win a gold medal with a broken freaking neck?
He did not win a gold medal with a broken freaking neck. No, he didn't. That is not a thing. It's only a Kurt Angle thing.
Would you say he's the next big thing?
He could be.
Well, I thought that was Parker Boudreau. I thought he was like Brock Jr.
That's the next giant thing.
He's the next Brock thing, but this could be the next Kurt Angle level talent. So if he wants to come over, so I think they were trying to woo him. So
the funny thing is when I look at him, he is the perfect combination. Like, you know how you can superimpose people's faces over one another?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
If you took Brock Lesnar and Jason Jordan.
Oh my God, yes.
Put them together. That was him.
Yeah.
Like, for a second when they showed him, I was like, what is Jason Jordan doing there?
When did Jason Jordan get uber ripped?
I mean, he's had nothing but time. Anyway.
I mean, yeah, so good for him. Good to see him. And in your main event, where several felonies were committed, and it was the most civilized, unsanctioned match I think I've ever seen. Adam Cole taking on Kyle O'Reilly to settle their differences once and for all, because William Regal has had enough of their crap. It should be noted that both men had security teams with them, that they were not allowed to touch each other before the match started. They were warned by Mr. Regal that they had to behave themselves until they got to the ring. They did fight in the ring. They changed the ropes from white to black, which was a nice touch.
It was a really nice touch. It's like, because the ropes, as we were talking, like, they blend into the background, so like they're there, but they're not there.
They get lost in the mesh for certain shots of the chain link, so it's really cool. The referee did not have a ref shirt on. He was just in a black shirt and gloves. And they had a really useless security wall. I'm sorry, I have to knock them for this. So they're doing the entrances, and Kyle comes out. We need to talk to NXT about the music, too, because it was not good.
Oh, yeah. Before you continue, the music for Adam and Kyle was awful. We need better music.
Can we get CFO back? I don't know why they broke up.
Yeah, that's just no.
That's not going to happen.
We're not getting them back.
No, not going to get them back. But they need better music, because that was bad.
Yeah, it was not the best. But they had Kyle come out first, and he did his thing around the ring. He's still trying to find himself and figure out the entrance. It was a little weird. And he got in the ring, right? And then you have the security guards get in the ring with Kyle. Well, where Kyle was standing in the ring on one side of the security wall, because that's what they did, is they essentially divided the ring in half diagonally. Kyle was on the ramp side of the wall. So as Adam Cole is making his entrance, Kyle could have literally jumped the ropes, jumped Adam Cole, and beat the shit out of him before the match ever started, and security would not have been able to catch him. So just, you know, I have to ding them for that, because it's like, you should have had Kyle on the other side of the wall. where he couldn't get to Adam because what's the point of the security? Because then Adam makes his entrance and they stare each other down and Adam gets in the ring and he's on the other side of the security wall, which is near the announce table. And so he's on the far side and it's like, but he has to get in the ring on the far side of the steps and not from the rampway. So it's a little weird.
Well, and with the way that the referee was dressed, when Adam was coming down and Kyle kind of took the steps to him, I saw the ref come and like kind of grab Kyle and was like, no. And all I thought was, what the hell is this random security guard doing? And then I realized later, oh, no, wait, that's the ref. Oh, shit.
I think what I liked about the ref in this match was he was like half enjoying it, half like concerned. The entire time. And then he was like silently judging them all the time. He's like, really? He's like, really? That's what you're going to do? Really? Mm-hmm. Really? Really?
Adam, no. No, Adam.
Y'all, this is not this serious. Okay.
Okay. So there's a few things, spots we need to talk about. One was the table that did not give.
Adam Cole bounced off of that thing.
Two, so this match featured a lot of chairs, including one that had the Undisputed Era logo on it. Nice touch.
Rip.
We had chains.
Things got kinky, y'all.
We had a very empty toolbox.
Yeah. I mean, they tried with the toolbox. They really, really did. They had, like, a wrench, I think a hammer, some chain, and something else in there. And I'm just sitting here like, no, that's not a toolbox. Where are like the 40 mismatched screwdrivers and the wrench set and the drill bit set that's missing like two of the bits because you broke one and you lost the other one.
Okay, Lindsay, to be fair, the last time we really had a toolbox in a match like this, they dumped it all out and then it ended up on someone's head, if we remember correctly.
Yes, I remember that. But, you know, it's like that was a brand spanking new toolbox with brand spanking new tools in it. And it's like the very least that you can do is like, you know, when you're going to Home Depot to pick this stuff up, because that's where they went, that or Harbor Freight and Tool, I have no idea. You could, like, I mean, well, Harbor Freight and Tools is, like, way cheaper. But you could, like, get the whole, like, complement of stuff. Like, think of what a screwdriver would have done in this match.
Yeah.
Not that they needed to do anything else, but I'm just saying, let's throw that option out there. I mean, a rubber mallet.
We had a tire iron, so there was that.
We did have a tire iron, so they did make it up for it there. But, we don't support Lowe's in this house.
Anyway.
Not piss off mom.
Unless
we are in Home Depot country, we support the Home Depot.
Unless Lowe's wants to sponsor show, then we're all about Lowe's.
Walmart.
Anyway, moving all around, we had them fighting. It was a combination of them fighting, like just brawling with each other, and some technical stuff that we were seeing from Kyle's jiu-jitsu stuff that he does, which was not. It was a nice combination of stuff. So at one point, they're battling and Adam Cole knocks out the ref.
I tell you to shut up, you shut up.
Yeah.
I mean, to be fair, prior to this, Adam was getting ready to do like the concerto or something on Kyle's neck, trying to stop him.
He was trying to pilmanize him by stomping on the chair.
And the ref's like, dude, No, this is too far. And I'm sitting here like, why are you stopping him? It's unsanctioned. And Rock's like, it's a man's life. I was like, why is he stopping him?
it's a man's life. So.
But why?
So he knocks the ref out. So he goes and gets Kyle up and hits the Panama on the sunrise. And you hear the 1, 2, 3, but the ref's out. And Adam's freaking out. It's like, ref, you're stupid. What happened? You have one job to count. Why aren't you counting? Because you knocked him out, Adam.
That's not his concern. The ref should be awake and ready when he makes the pin. The fact that the ref is not awake and ready, well, you know, that even though Adam completely, totally elbowed him in the face, that has nothing to do with it. The ref is just slacking.
Adam had that look after that moment where he hit the Panama Sunrise, goes for the pin, realizes he's not hearing the hand, and just kind of looks over. And it's that meme of like, and that's when I realized I fucked up.
Because
you just saw that look like, God damn it. I've got to do this now.
So they're continuing to fight and they're outside. They're making around to the stage and they're fighting. Kyle hooks the guillotine choke on Cole, and then, well, there's only one way to break this up. You go through the set. You go through the ramp, and they went crashing through the ramp.
The Property Brothers.
Which was a cool spot. No, the spot for the Property Brothers, whereas Adam is trying to get to Kyle, So he's kicking the drywall that's holding up the ramp. He's just kicking, trying to get to him.
I mean, if HGTV wanted to do a WWE home run show, I don't think anybody would question it.
I was going to say, is there a DIY show on Peacock? Because, you know, we could have some corporate synergy here.
We could.
PeacockTV.com. Whatever. I'm looking there.
Okay.
I'm going to see what DIYs they have.
You do that. So they're continuing. So they make their way to the ring, and they've been battling for a while. So there's a point where they're in the ring, and they have the two chairs set up, and they're just sitting on the chairs.
Screaming at each other, and the ref, this is where the ref just went full on judging.
Yeah.
Like, he was just like, what the hell are you two doing? Because they're just sitting there screaming at each other, and it's like, well, one, that's Hunter and Sean right there, you can tell. Two, just, they need a minute, okay?
I think
they will commence with the killing in a second.
I think this was I think this was before the stage thing, I think. I don't remember.
It was,
no,
it
I think
was
after.
Was it after?
I think it was after, yeah.
Was it? Okay. So, there were a couple
They have issues to work out, okay? Yeah, just let them work through their issues.
They had to work out their issues, and that's fine. So there's a point where Adam's going for a move, and Kyle just slumps over. Adam's like, he was going for the last shot. I was like, nope, not gonna let you do it. Like, nah, I'm gonna just fall out. So they just battled, and we got the one spot, the brainbuster on the steps, like, that all set this whole thing up and whatnot, and they're battling. We had some near falls, but so Kyle and Adam, so there's this chair that's like set up in the ring, and Adam got knocked down, and he's crawling back in over, and he's just crawling on top of this chair that we should not have seen him crawl onto the chair.
As Kyle, that was a really bad.
As Kyle's on the top rope, slowly wrapping this chain around his leg.
Yeah.
Kyle was trying to wrap the chain around him in a couple of ways, and this one had a carabiner on it to really kind of make sure it sticks, and even then he was having issues.
Yeah. So this, it was a cool spot, like the leg drop and everything onto the chair and everything for the finish. It was really good, but the camera work needed to be a little bit better for it, because we should not have seen
Adam him. Prostrate himself.
Yeah, and just sit. And what made it awkward was it took Kyle a minute to get the chain together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Adam's just like laying awkwardly across this chair, just ready to take whatever Kyle's going to do to him, and it was like, this is a little weird, just a speech.
But in the end, Kyle wins.
Okay, and I just want to complain about this for a second.
Okay.
Not about Kyle winning. Kyle winning is glorious. So after the match, after Kyle has basically killed Adam, and Adam has tried to kill Kyle for 50 minutes, they send out the medical personnel. The ref's checking on Adam because Adam's laying there and he's all concerned for Adam, and Kyle's laying there banged up, bruised, battered, you know, in need of medical attention. Well, and the ref's like, you good, right? We need help for Adam. We need help for Adam. You good, right?
Get out of the ring.
And get out of the ring. And so they have Kyle get out of the ring, and he's like limping off as they're putting Adam on the stretcher, and you have 15 people around Adam Cole taking care of him, and Kyle's like limping off like a wounded dog getting ready to go lick his wounds or something like that. Like, it was just like, I think Kyle needs help too, and like nobody helped him. And then there was a minor concern Kyle was going to fall in the hole in the stage.
There was. So yeah, that's two nights of NXT TakeOver.
I think overall, this match absolutely delivered.
I think best match of the night was either this or Walter and Ciampa.
I would go with either. I think this was just a little bit better.
It all depends what you're looking for. This went 40 minutes. Well done, 40 minutes.
And that, boys and girls, is how you do a hardcore match without a lot of blood.
Or a need for a big-ass explosion at the end that doesn't deliver.
Oh.
But yeah, I think this absolutely delivered in terms of both nights. I thought this was a really good takeover. Please, God, never put it on two nights ever again. If you love us, please don't do that.
This was a special circumstance. I don't think we're going to get two nights again, but we'll see. Couple notes coming out. Brent, God damn it.
What did I do now?
Nothing. You actually did nothing. Everyone's fine.
Yay!
Nobody got hurt. Woo! I think there were some concerns about some people, but yeah, they're okay. They're fine. They're good. So, woo!
Everyone came out on the positive end of things.
I'm just so used to TakeOver hitting, and then all of a sudden Hunter gets on the call, and it's like, yeah, Karrion broke his collarbone. Fuck. So, yeah, this person, yeah, Candice LeRae possibly broke her arm.
Yeah.
What the hell?
Nope. All right, Brent, your job. Pick 'em.
Okay. Okay, so pick 'em. The last two matches kind of help. So in third place, there's Lindsay at 5-5.
Woo!
The Wheel at 5-5, and me at 5-5.
Shit, I lost the eight ball. Crap.
Lindsay, it would have been a lot worse had those last two matches not gone our way.
Well,
I was keeping track of it, and I was just like, oh god, we need to win these.
I was doing the math in my head from night one and night two, and I was like, yeah, my pick'em's, like, gone to hell.
Well, it's like night one was okay. I think we were 3-2. That also means we went 2-3 at the back end.
All right,
well, it's because I thought the Way was going to win. We all had Devlin winning, you know. It just did not go the way we thought. All
right,
In second place is the Horish 8-Ball at 6-4.
Okay.
And then Rock went 7-3. So there we go.
Wait, what was that? I went 1.
You heard me, you asshole.
No, what I didn't hear you. What did you say?
You went 7-3. There.
All right, good night. That was a good night.
Although you did have Adam Cole.
That's okay.
Dexter Lumis.
It's okay.
And then we all got Jordan Devlin wrong.
Okay, well, I got 3 wrong. Wow. Okay, great. So that's the rack.
But we're not done, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages. Oh, no. No, no, we will be back tomorrow night, immediately after SmackDown, for our WrestleMania Night 1 and Night 2 review. And yes, it's going to be a long one, so
preview,
bring snacks.
Preview.
Or I'm sorry, preview. So bring snacks.
Yes, we're previewing the Rack Extra.
Oh, we get snacks?
Bring your own. It's the Rack Extra Previews WrestleMania. We will deliver a lot of positivity on this show. But in case you want...
Hell or high water.
10 p.m. Eastern. Right after SmackDown. 10 p.m. Eastern. And if you want more of us, guess what? We got more. Because live at 11 p.m. Eastern on Saturday, it's the Rack Extra Reviews Day 1 of WrestleMania, which will then be followed by CB Radio, which will then be followed by Wrestle Talk Radio, which will review both nights on Sunday night at 11. We'll be back for the Raw Post Show Monday at 11 p.m. Eastern. Then we'll have Night 2 review next Thursday. Yay.
As you can tell, it's late, so we are not doing Fortnite with Friends tonight. We are not doing Fortnite with Friends on Saturday. Fortnite with Friends will return potentially next Thursday, sure next Saturday.
Yeah, the 17th. We're going with the 17th.
We're probably going long on WrestleMania, but I don't want to make any promises. Because it's only going to be Night 2.
Also, you can check out the Rack Extra Reviews Ms. and Mrs., which will be available on Monday night following the show. That's 11:30. Content. Rack Radio Show on all social media platforms. Get the Rack Radio Show on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, iTunes, Spotify. Wherever you get your podcast, search the Rack Radio Show. It's at Wild Talk Radio. It's facebook.com/WildTalkRadio. If you have Amazon Prime, link to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming in the Sports Channel by clicking that purple rectangle button below the screen. You can also use credit code Rocksack into Fortnite. I am Shop, hashtag Epic Partner. Brent.
If you guys want to find me on the interwebs, you can find me at Twitter, on Twitter, at Kane Kittens. At Twitter, you never know, too. Or you can find me on CB Radio or on Fortnite with Friends. So watch me be a meat shield.
Woot.
And you can follow me on most of the social medias at Lindsay Ward, LNSWRD. So for Rock, for Brent, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. We will see you tomorrow night with our WrestleMania preview. Till then. Bye.
WildTalkRadio.com.